Dear students, it is time to discuss everyone's favorite topic to hate, taxes and tax planning. So let's start with a few quotes by some famous people. In this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Benjamin Franklin, statesman, inventor, and famed author. And in reality, more responsible than any other person for the creation of the United States of America. Why? Because dear old Ben got the other superpower at the time, France, to come in on the side of the colonies. Yeah. Go Ben. He was a character. But we still have some inventions that we use that he invented, like the bifocals. Yeah, right. And here's a quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, a Civil War veteran and one of the longest-serving Supreme Court justices. Taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. Yeah, I know. Go ahead and complain. I don't blame you. But we want to live in a civilized world? We're going to pay taxes. Because, you know, those freeways don't build themselves. Schools don't use bake sales to run the school, and that aircraft carrier, right, exactly. And then we have a quote from little Leona Helmsley, a hotel owner, fashion designer, and convicted tax felon, prison inmate. Only the little people pay taxes. Right. Somewhere along the line, dear students, someone's going to be jumping up and down in the parking lot of a Walmart or online. You're going to find a website that says, taxes are unconstitutional. They are an abomination, and you don't have to pay your taxes. Here, just buy our book or download our, folks, a little lesson in civics. We have three branches of the government, actually four branches, but one's not official. The legislature, which represents the people and makes the laws. The executive branch, whose job is to execute, carry out the laws. And the judicial branch, whose job it is to interpret the laws. And of course, we have the fourth estate, as it's often called, the press, the media, which is meant to oversee. Yeah, I know. Sorry, state of affairs. Anyway, the judicial branch is the branch that interprets the laws and tells us whether or not they are constitutional or not. And, dear students, every judge in every jurisdiction throughout the land has said, yes, you have to pay your taxes. So don't wind up with, like Leona Helmsley, thinking that only the little people pay taxes, because you might go to jail. Slide number two. About one-third of each dollar you earn goes to pay taxes. And that's why May Day is often called Tax Freedom Day, because from January, February, March, and then up until April, you're paying your income to the government. And then after that, you basically get to keep the rest. Now, it's not usually May 1st for most people. It's usually sometime in April, maybe even sooner. But still, we all have a partner here, dear students. We've got Uncle Sam and Uncle Cal, for those of us who live in California. And as we said, those freeways don't build themselves. Understanding tax rules and regulations can help you reduce your tax liability, indeed, and to help you cope with the many types of taxes. You should know the tax laws as they affect you. Make purchase and investment decisions that reduce your tax liability. Well, be careful, you know, because not all tax advantage investments are good values, especially for us working grunts. For example, municipal bonds, which are very popular with high net worth, high income individuals. But for us working grunts, it usually turns out that we're better off buying corporate bonds. But we're splitting hairs here. And then, of course, we want you to maintain complete tax records. So if you haven't done so yet, if you haven't done your Chapter 1 assignment, I hope you do, but one of your non-financial goals could be to get your tax records in order. Yes, indeed it could be. Slide number three. There are four types of taxes. Purchases, sales tax, excise tax, environmental taxes, and the like. Property taxes, real estate, personal property tax. If you own property, or we have a DMV tax on our, it's called the vehicle license fee on our cars. Taxes on wealth, federal estate tax, and the gift tax, which affects very, very few people. And some states have an inheritance tax. And a tax on earnings, the income tax. Now, about 2,000 years ago, when the governments and the religion, the churches were basically one and the same, it was the tax on wealth that was mostly assessed on people. You might have heard the term tithing, because every year the tax collectors would come around and assess your wealth, and you were supposed to give a tenth of it, a tithing, to the government, which was the religion, and you know, they were one and the same. And so that's why you still hear in religious circles the word tithing. And that's why those biblical tax collectors were some of the most hated and loathed individuals. And that's what got Jesus of Nazareth in trouble, because he was kind to the two most hated individuals, two most hated peoples at the time, tax collectors and women. And so we've replaced that. We don't really have taxes on wealth for the vast majority of people. If you're really worth billions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, you have to worry about that. And we'll discuss that way at the end of the semester. We're going to concentrate on taxes on earnings, right? Because those are the big ones that we have to worry about. And then there's a fifth type of tax, but you know, it's, we put tax in quotes on slide number five because they're really not technically taxes, although they are often called payroll taxes, and it makes sense for us to think of them as taxes. But what they are mandatory contributions to a retirement plan, Social Security, and a retirement health plan, Medicare. So I know you don't like your boss, but but every time you pay 6.2% into Social Security and 1.45% into Medicare, your boss is also paying that same amount into those two programs. Now, if you're self-employed, you have to be your own boss. You have to pay your amount. Now, it's not twice as much. It's almost twice as much, and there's some accounting reasons why. But it is something that many people, who, when they start off as their own sole proprietor with their own little business, they don't account for that. And then at the end of the year, when they go to their accountant or they do their own taxes, they get hit with this huge tax bill because they didn't even think they were going to have to pay not only their own Social Security, Medicare, but their employer's portion, because they're their own employer. So slide number five, we're going to learn how to compute how much it really costs. Okay, because we look at the price tag and we think, okay, we got to, you know, schlep together that much money, but it's actually a lot more. Hang on. You saw this stereo or stereo, some electronic device that you didn't even know existed, but just a few moments ago you saw it on the telly or the InfernoNet, and now you can't live without it. So you run on down to Best Buy, and it's on sale for $299. Well, you give the person $299 and you get to walk. No, it doesn't work that way, right? You have to pay the sales tax. Now, here in San Diego, we're just going to use 8%, but there's no jurisdiction in San Diego that actually has an 8% sales tax. It's 7.75 in a lot of them. It's 8.25, 8.75. It depends on where you are in the county. But the same thing happens throughout the country. You have to check your local jurisdiction for what your sales tax is. But let's just say, just use 8% instead of 7.75. So that means you've got to not only give the $299 to the clerk at Best Buy, You also have to pay them $23.92, which goes to the state of California and to the county of San Diego. And so you walk out of there with $322.92, fewer dollars in your pocket. Well, not really. It depends. If somebody gave you that money, you didn't earn it, well then yes, that's how much it cost you, the $322.92. But if you had to earn the money, yes, you've seen what happens to your paycheck. You don't get the gross amount. There are always withholdings. And so depending on which tax bracket we're in, and we're going to use 22% and 7%, 22% for Uncle Sam and 7% for Uncle Cal. It turns out that there really isn't a 7% bracket, but we'll just use that. It straddles the 22% bracket, as we'll see in our next presentation. But just for sake of ease, let's use 22 and 7%. So that means you had to earn an additional $112.14 to pay the federal income tax and an additional $35.68 to pay the state income tax. So that's a total subtotal of $147.82 added on to the $322.92. But wait, we forgot to pay the Social Security Medicare. That's another $39. So that stereo or whatever it is, you know, things you put in your ear or things you put in your brain, it turns out it's going to cost us $509.74 after we have earned the money to buy it. You don't believe me? Well, here's the formula on slide 6. We take the out-of-pocket expense, which includes the sales tax or excise, environmental, whatever taxes are, and then we divide it by 1 minus the marginal tax rate. Now, you're going to hate this marginal tax rate, and you're going to want it to be gone, and after we're done with Chapter 3, you're going to say, okay, I don't want to have to deal with that anymore. But you're going to have to because it's going to come back later on. So let's learn it now. The marginal tax rate is the amount of the next dollar that we're giving to the government. And so the out-of-pocket expense is $322.92. Our marginal tax rate, now notice we have to do the calculation that's in the parentheses first. 22% to the feds, 7% to, oh, it should be 8%, right? I made a typo there. Oops! We interrupt this presentation to tell you I was confused. It is 7%. 22% fed, 7% state, 7.65% for Medicare and Social Security. But in the worksheets, we use 8% because it's just easier than 7.65. Sorry about that. 8% to the state of California and 7.5% to the Social Security and Medicare. And so if we do that, remember, percent means por ciento, so 0.22, 0.07. Don't put 0.7, that's 70%. It should be 8. Maybe you're looking at this, but when you see the presentation file, I'll have fixed that, I hope, unless I forget. Let me put a little note there that says, fix it. Okay, I'll fix it. And then you take that number, whatever it is, and to take 1 minus. That's 100%. 1 is 100%. Divide the two numbers. Do the bottom first, and then divide the two numbers. And you get a little over $509, almost $510. You thought I was exaggerating, didn't you? And in the face-to-face class now, what we would do is we would stop and do this worksheet called How Much Does It Really Cost? The actual after-tax cost. And we do a used car and a trip to Cancun. And then we want you to do a few other things on your own, you know, that you buy often, like maybe you buy beer often or go to $5 or $10 or whatever it's called. Starbucks. How much does it really cost you? And so, you know, can you really do anything about this? Well, sure. You could go to a deserted island, not have to pay any taxes. But then you have to learn how to feed yourself and protect yourself and build your shelter and give yourself the injection that you don't even own or don't even know how to do. And the taxes are the price we pay to live in a civilized society. Okay, filing your federal income tax. Okay, now we're going to do it, folks. You can do it. I am so proud of you. You're going to be able to pull this off. I have no doubt whatsoever. It's a kind of tedious, and a lot of people will say, I don't want to learn how to do it. I can't do it. I can't. And then when they finally start slogging through it, they go, okay, it's not so bad. For 2022 taxes, if you are single and have earned at least $12,950 or more, or if you're married, notice it's double, and then there's a few others. There's a married filing separately, head of household, qualifying widower. But in reality, if you've had any earned income, you should file. Because first of all, if they have taken any money out and you actually should get it all back because you don't make enough, are they going to call you and say, hey, Fred, hey, Mabel, we saw that you didn't file and we have some money here for you. If you file, we'll give it to you. No, they're not going to do that. They're just going to take the money. And if you, especially if you have children and don't have a whole lot of income, you could actually wind up getting money back. It's called the earned income credit. You can think of it as like a reverse income tax. In other words, you're not making a whole lot of money. We want you to keep working. We'll give you some money for you to keep working. And so, as we said, there are five filing categories. And the two most important ones are single or legally separated and married filing jointly. Married filing separately means that you're still married, but there are court orders and knives and all kinds of nastiness going on. You normally, if at all possible, want to file jointly. There are very, very few situations where married filing separately makes sense. Usually you wind up paying more taxes if you file separately. Head of household is an interesting situation. There's a child in the marriage, and then they split up, and they're now divorced. And one of them gets to take advantage of the head of household, not both. So what happens, they both take it, and then the IRS takes them a while. After a year, 2 years, they each get a little friendly little letter saying, you goofed, official business only. You can't both be the head of household. And then the qualifying widow or widower. If your spouse passes away, the year they pass away, you're still married, filing jointly. And then for 2 years, you get to act as if you're still married. And that typically will reduce your taxes, unless you get remarried and then you're married again and you're married filing jointly again. Okay, come on, go to the next slide, please. What tax records should you keep? Well, I say keep all of it. The current tax forms, the instruction booklets, the social security numbers, the previous returns, those W-2 forms that you get from your employer, any 1099s, which are forms that describe money that was sent to you, 1098s, money that you paid, receipts, documentation, investment, business, expense documents, keep it all. And how long should you keep your tax records? Well, that's a source of contention depending on what website you show up on or the IRS website, because here's what the IRS says. You should keep them for 3 years from the date the return was due or filed, or 2 years from the date the tax was paid, whichever is longer. So that's going to be usually 3 years from the date, because most people file on the day they should have paid. They should have filed and paid their taxes. But if you hadn't paid the tax after 2 or 3 years because you got in a situation where you couldn't and the IRS allowed you to pay them over time, then you have to keep it for an extra 2 years. But the IRS then goes on to say that you should keep some records longer, but they don't say which records and they don't say for how long. So thanks a lot, guy. Thank you so much. So what I say is keep them forever. Now, here's a problem. We had tax records going back years, 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 years. And every year, there are boxes and boxes. And every year, I would swear, I'm going to scan all these things in and shred them all. And then I'd go take a nap. Well, I actually talked with an ex-IRS agent who said, no, 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 no. As long as you didn't do anything stupid, you know, didn't, I mean, but not stupid, not so much stupid as illegal. As long as you didn't try to bamboozle the IRS, do anything tax evasion. He said, no, they're not going to go back that many years. And I believed him until one of our friends got hit by the California Franchise Tax Board, not the IRS, but the California version of the IRS, going back 10 years. And they made a really, really stupid thing that they did to her. And, you know, she didn't have to pay any taxes. They wanted her to pay taxes. But so I'm frightened. I don't know about you. I scan everything I can, and then I will delete it, shred it. But still, it's scary because, you know, they have infinite resources as far as we're concerned. And luckily, she was able to convince the California Franchise Tax Board that, no, she didn't make the money they thought she did 10 years ago. And so it's an issue. It's an issue. If you have a scanner, scan everything and then shred it and hope for the best. So the Republican tax cuts of 2017 was the only basically piece of legislation that was monumental in the Trump administration. It introduced many changes to the tax code. Some changes were politically divisive and hurt states that were primarily Democratic, such as California. And we will see that in our in subsequent presentations. They went overwhelmingly to the rich. Estimates range from about 62 to 83% of the cuts go to the top 1%. And contrary to what they said, the initial estimates ranged from $500 billion to $1.7 trillion, but now it looks like they increased the deficit by over $4 trillion. The corporate tax cuts were permanent, but the individual tax cuts phased out after 8 years. So by 2027, approximately 53% of individuals will pay more taxes than they did in 2017. Right. It was a snow job. We in the middle class got screwed. But the corporate rates were slashed from 37% to 21%. They had a huge windfall. Huge windfall, which was supposedly going to go to workers as in the form of raises and in the form of a new investments in productivity and tools. And most all the money went to the shareholders in the form of dividends and share buybacks. Dear students, it pays to be rich. So when we come back, get your thinking cap on, because we are going to slog, we'll use that word, slog, muddle through, work through a typical tax return for a homeowner in, actually now we should really up the numbers quite a bit, but in socioeconomic category of middle class, but, you know, it's getting to the point where it's just, you can't be middle class anymore. You either have to be upper class or you're no class. So be ready to do a typical 1040 tax return for a homeowner. Now, are we going to turn you into tax preparers? No, dear students. But it could turn into a career. We teach it here. You can have there's a program where you could become part of a volunteer income tax assistants and get college credit and incredible experience and be certified as a tax preparer for the VITA program, for the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. So think about it. See you on the next presentation when we slog through a typical 1040 tax return.